Great, let's draw back together. And why don't I lead us in prayer as we start again. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have given us such great work to do, and thanks for this time to think more about what that would involve for us as a church family. Thank you for this this idea to be doing greater works as partners in the church. And we pray that you'd be helping us now as we think more about what that's going to look like. And please help us to be attentive. Please help us to engage our minds. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. We've been thinking this morning about doing greater works than Jesus as we engage in the activity of building the church, as we open the Bible, as we share biblical truth with each other, with all nations to the glory of God. And we've been thinking, I love that bit at the end of Charlie's talk, how we can be peeing all over the world. That's a great line, isn't it? And we're going to spend some time now just thinking, what does it mean to pee? What does it mean to be a partner? What is the work that we are partnering in? In many ways, it is what we said at the beginning. It's opening the Bible with people from all nations prayerfully to the glory of God. But what is that actually going to look like on the ground? What kind of work are we going to do? And for lots of the stuff that I'm going to say over the next few minutes, I'm indebted to Colin Marshall and Tony Payne, who've written this book, The Trellis and the Vine. We will talk about this a little bit later, but this is just to flag it up and to acknowledge that a lot of what I've got from this, a lot of what I'm saying I've got from there. But to start off with, I thought it'd be helpful if we just think about what are the activities that we as a church do at St. Helens and that we do in our CUs. So in your tables, for a few minutes, list all of the activities that are done by the church or the CU. Go. Oh, and also, what makes them good? Great, let's start drawing back together. I'm sure that there are many other things to add to that list. Let's throw some of them out. What are the kinds of things that we think we are doing in CU or in church? Lads Day, thank you. Good. Other things?
Task.
Sorry? Girls Day, yeah. RML, good. Church Family Prayer Supper, which happens once a month, in case you didn't know. Sunday School. Four services on a Sunday, including the 2:30 in here. Task and Essential Mix, good. Lots of different things. I'm sure you've got many other things on your list. Those are all St. Helens things. As Christian unions, we're doing all sorts of other things as well. Lots of different things that we are doing in the ministry here. But all of those things are the trellis. Let me introduce you to this illustration. The trellis and the vine, it's the illustration that this book starts with, is a way of conceiving, of understanding the ministry that goes on. A trellis, if you don't know what it is a kind of crisscross pattern of wood that is used to support the growth of a vine. So we had one in our garden when I was growing up. My mum's very, very keen gardener. I remember us making this trellis out of wood. It was probably one of the ugliest things that ever sat in our back garden. But it wasn't there to be looked at. It was there to support the growth of the vines that we had. As I said, my mum's a keen gardener. Before long, you couldn't see the trellis anymore. And that was the point. You don't want to see the trellis. You want to see the vine. Indeed, you want the vine to grow. And in a similar way, what we are not looking for is growth in all of those structures at St. Helens or at CU. We're not looking for growth of those. We're looking for growth of the church, growth of the kingdom, growth of the gospel. As the word of the gospel is proclaimed, and individuals submit themselves to the rule of Christ, the kingdom grows across the world. And we saw at the beginning of this year in Acts, didn't we? The word is preached and the kingdom grows. That is the vine growth we're looking for. But in practice, we have all sorts of different structures that we put in place in order to help that vine grow. For example, we have buildings to meet in. We have this building to meet in so that we can meet somewhere warm sometimes and dry and listen to the word of God. We run Bible studies once a week at the same time so that there's somewhere predictable to come and have the Bible taught to us and to speak the truth in love to one another. As we seek to have vine growth, we build a trellis to support and aid the growth of the vine. The crucial thing is that our aim is to see the growth of the vine, not the trellis. It's the vine, the gospel, God's building project that we want to see grown, not the trellis. A wonderfully elaborate trellis would be pointless if there's no vine growth with it. The thing is, trellis stuff often starts being really helpful, but you can very easily get so focused on the trellis that it's no longer useful anymore. It's no longer supporting vine growth. And so part of the next few minutes we want to spend just thinking, what is vine growth? What is it we're trying to see grow? And how is that going to come about? What are the decisions we need to be making when we're working on the trellis? And you can see from the handout that we're going to be diving in and out of 2 Timothy, so that'd be a great place to turn to in your Bibles. And we're not teaching the point of 2 Timothy, but there's a few things that we'll see as we go through that are just slightly relevant as we're thinking about it. At any point, as we partner in the work, we want to ask the question, is this trellis work or vine work? And whenever we're working to produce a helpful trellis, we want to ask the question, what is real vine work? And so the first heading on the handout after the trellis and the vine, and the first heading is the single most important thing I'm going to say, and if you fall asleep for the rest of the time that I'm speaking, please remember this one thing. Vine work is people work. Vine work is people work. And that's really obvious after everything that Charlie has just said. But the tragedy is that it's really easy in church for that to slip off the radar. For example, I wonder, when Charlie said, be a partner in the ministry here, when he was encouraging us to do that, I wonder, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, what more could I do to serve in the prayer supper or to come along more frequently to RML? Were you thinking, what could I do to get more involved in the activities here? Or were you thinking, who are the individuals on a Sunday or a Wednesday that I can be getting alongside? I think our natural tendency is to think in terms of activities and structures and to think in terms of the trellis, but it's vine work that we're after, isn't it? So we need to think in terms of people. That's Paul's perspective in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10 says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may enjoy the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, I endure everything for the sake of task, or I endure everything for the sake of RML or IGG. Paul isn't interested in the structures. He's interested in the people. He's not interested in the format. He's interested in the individuals for whom Christ died. Vine work isn't about the structure, it's about the people. So I don't know if you, as a Christian union, run a carol service on your campuses. I think they're great events, aren't they? And in God's kindness, carol services are still a great way of getting people along, and people come along and hear the great news of Jesus. They're a great opportunity to present the gospel to people. But over the next few years, it's likely that Christmas is going to become more and more secularized. And who knows how quickly people won't want to come and sing carols anymore. It might be that there's those bunch of enthusiastic singers in your CU who desperately want to bust a gut singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but is it actually serving the people, or is it just the structure that we've so frequently, so long-term had in place that we've forgotten why we're doing it in the first place? When I am becoming a partner in a ministry, am I partnering with a system, or am I partnering in the growth of individuals? So again, pause for a moment and think about what makes a successful RML or IGG study. After what Charlie said, I imagine that we might have already made progress on this, but I wonder what you would say if I asked you to define it. Maybe you would say that it is understanding what the passage is saying, correctly identifying the main point. I hope you can see that if we're going to be partners, and if vine work is about people work, then a Bible study isn't successful if it's just come to a main point. A Bible study is successful if people go away changed. A Bible study that merely identifies the main point, or a summary sentence, or whatever it is, hasn't actually changed people. If vine work is people work, then I haven't actually achieved anything unless I've changed people. But if we gather together in a Bible study and actually hear God speak and ourselves change and help each other to change, if we're speaking the truth in love to others, then suddenly, well, there you're having vine growth, aren't you? So when we're talking about becoming partners in ministry, it's not an invitation to join the work of the trellis growth. It's not about structures and events and church politics. The structures that exist should only be there to serve the people. And that's a radical shift for us to make. And I think it means that there's four particular implications that it would be good for us to draw out. The first is that if we're concerned about people, then we need to give people what they need. And that's the Bible. I hope that's been clear throughout the time that we've spent together. And I hope that's clear from the first talk, if the greater work is this speaking the gospel to each other. That actually is the emphasis of 2 Timothy 4. Of 2 Timothy as a book. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. It's the summary of everything he's been saying in the letter. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Timothy, Paul is told, should go forward preaching the word. And of course what people need is the Bible. That shouldn't come as a surprise to us. How is the church grown? How is the vine grown? Clearly it's through the teaching of the Bible, as Bible teachers equip the church to speak the truth in love to one another. But the radical change we need to make is that we're looking at this from the perspective of growing the church. So I'm not going to vomit the Bible at people. I don't know whether or not you have any young relatives. I've got a young nephew and a godson. My godson is currently learning to eat. And if you've seen children trying to feed themselves, it's a little bit of a mess. But at least hopefully it goes down. The worst thing is when it starts coming up again, probably without any warning, all over mum and dad. No one's very happy. There's a mess everywhere. The problem is sometimes we're so clear on the fact we need the Bible that we end up just vomiting Bible at people. And it comes without much warning and it makes a mess everywhere and that kind of thing. But if we're thinking about vine work as people work, then we're not just vomiting the Bible for the sake of getting the Bible out there. We're actually giving people this treasure because we want people to be grown. Neither will we keep the Bible from them. I said we won't vomit the Bible, but also we will want to give people the Bible. And 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 speaks of a time when people won't endure sound teaching. People won't want the Bible, but vine work is about people work. And people need the Bible, so we will be giving people the Bible. Imagine you're at a Christian union, which has been going on for a long time, and it started out as a great way of gathering together to be encouraged from the word to go out and reach your campus for Jesus. But as time's gone on, the idea of looking at the Bible just doesn't seem that relevant anymore. There are so many other things to chat about as a Christian union, so many other things to focus on. And it's not because you've got an obsession with the particular way that you've seen things done before. It's not because you're concerned about this trellis structure that you're so passionately concerned for. But because you're concerned for people, and people need the Bible, that maybe you get alongside the president. Maybe you are the president. And you start thinking, how can we get the Bible out there? What do people need? And it's the second thing is that it's not just problem solving. It's true that problems will come up, and it's essential that these are dealt with. But if vine work is people work, then I'm not just going to want to involve people in the structures that are already around and deal with problems as they come up. I'm not just looking for people to stagnate. We want people to grow. Vine work means more than just firefighting. Vine work is much more like being a personal trainer. So a firefighter goes out and deals with problems as they come up, but a personal trainer in a gym is trying to see people grow and develop. It will come as no surprise to you that I haven't seen much of that myself. I've only been on the inside of a gym once or twice. But my understanding is that personal trainers are trying to help people grow and develop. That's what the word does. The word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So I wonder how you approach looking out for people on a Sunday. We talked about this already. If you're a partner, you're looking out for other people. But what is it that you're looking out to do? Are you just trying to see if issues have come up during the week? Is it just the case that we're looking for people who've got issues in their lives that need dealing with? Those are things that will need to be dealt with. But are you also looking to encourage people to progress in the faith? It would be easy for church to become all about that, but fighting fires means the system just stays at a status quo, keeping everything at a level playing field. Vine growth means just that. It means growth. As Marshall and Payne put it in their book, it means helping people to make progress. Why don't we pause for a second and just round our tables, think about what would it look like on a Sunday to be a firefighter, and what would it look like on a Sunday to be a trainer? Round the tables just for a minute. Okay, I realize that's not very long, but let's try and pull back together. What would it look like to be a firefighter on a Sunday evening? What would it look like to be a firefighter on a Sunday evening? Heard lots of chat. I'm sure there are some good ideas.
If you look for people who might have problems, or you can just ask people, what are your problems? Okay, let's deal with those. Next person.
Great. What kind of questions do you ask people? Are you asking questions just to find out the kind of problems that are going on? Ben, I saw a hand out. Similar thing.
You're going to be almost a judgmental kind of characteristic as well, isn't it? You're constantly looking for. If you're specifically looking for people's faults that you feel you can make a difference to, there's another category, I guess, someone's going through.
But there is that expectation, isn't there? There's a danger that you're just expecting there to be problems to go around fixing. What would it look like to be a personal trainer instead? I'm assuming from the silence on the first question that this is where we spent more time. What would it look like to be a personal trainer?
He talked about being more proactive. He talked about a firefighter basically just doesn't do anything most of the time. Whereas a person tries to really be more actively in church and have lots of different areas.
Great, so proactively getting into conversations about the way the Bible applies in lots of ways, proactive rather than passive. Anyone else got any ideas?
We were saying how a personal trainer might want to teach somebody how to help themselves, grow, how to train others.
Great, so a personal trainer is going to want to be thinking how they can teach and grow somebody. Good, we'll think a little bit more about that in a few minutes. I wonder if just praying for individuals before you come on a Sunday and thinking about what it is that you can be praying for people helps you to think through how can this person grow rather than just what are the problems I might engage with. Actually praying for individuals who you don't know of any problems for forces you to think, how can I be helping them to grow? Great. So it's not just problem solving. It's also not just here. And by that I mean it's not just the people who I might see immediately around me. Again, we talked about this in Charlie's talk. Paul is a classic example of somebody who wasn't just concerned about the three or four people next to him, but who toured the entire Mediterranean to try and make sure the gospel got out. And you see it, again, briefly mentioned in 2 Timothy, that he's concerned for the elect, not just the church in Ephesus, but the elect. He wants all of the Gentiles. And he was delighted that the message got proclaimed to all of the Gentiles. It's not just the people closest to me that I'm concerned about, if vine work is people work. But it's the growth of the whole gospel. And that means also that it's not just the people in St. Helens that I'm concerned about. So it's not just my immediate friendship group, but it's also not people in St. Helens. When I'm thinking it's just my immediate friendship group, that has a big impact on what I'm going to do on a Sunday. And your immediate group of friends might be settling down to find their seat in that place where all of the students sit in St. Helens. But you might see that there's somebody new on the other side of the church building, far away from all your friends. They look new because they're sat on their own and it's 10-2, or they're next to the bookstall. Vine growth is about people growth. And here is somebody next to whom I could move myself and who I could, who knows, have a conversation with them in which God opens their blind eyes, does a let there be light kind of work in them, and does that miracle in their life. This is also the reason why we're so keen to be encouraging each other to go out and be involved in Christian unions. Christian unions don't really that directly help the growth of St. Helens Church, do they? They're actually taking you out of St. Helens. You're not able to serve in this church family as much as you would be if you weren't at the CU. But we're not concerned about just our local church. We are concerned about the church family here, but we're concerned about vine growth as a global gospel work. And so we'll be encouraging each other to get involved in Christian unions as a great place to go and do further vine work. We'll be encouraging each other to go and do camps and use up 10 days of your summer. They're not necessarily going to help the church at St. Helens. This Passion for Life event on the 12th may be something that doesn't actually lead people to come directly into St. Helens, but it's gospel growth, it's vine growth, it's people growth. It's not necessarily just this local church. Right, I'm going to pause just for a second, and I want you to think in your head, if you're a partner, what kind of thing will you be praying for the members of your RML group? If you're a partner, what kind of thing will you be praying for the members of your RML group? Pause for a second. Try and have a think of what you'd say. Great. I think there's lots of different things we might say in answer to that question. I think usually when I'm thinking that kind of thing, I am praying the kinds of things that move people from A to M, or C to A if they're there, and basically that if they're M, that they would stay M. By that I mean I'm probably praying, please would they grow in godliness, please would they stay a Christian to the final day. It's often the kinds of things that I'm praying for my friends. Maybe there's all sorts of other things that you'd add onto that list. But if vine work is people work, then it's not just now, it is not just this generation that I want to be concerned about. It is the next generation that I want to be concerned about as well. And that has big implications on the kind of thing I'm looking for in the other people in my RML group. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 says, "What you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul encourages Timothy to hand on the gospel to teachers who will be able to teach their congregations, because every generation needs more Bible teachers who will be able to teach the next group of believers. And in fact, what we're looking for is not just a lot of members, but a lot of partners. What I want to pray, what I want to be looking for in others in my RML group is not just that they stay Christian, but that we are all involved in the growth of disciples. It is not just making disciples, but making disciple-making disciples, if you see what I mean. We're not just looking to be a partner ourselves, but looking for other people to join us in being partners. So think about the individuals in your CU. I wonder if you've ever thought about who else is around there and how they're doing Christianly. I know that Charlie asked us that question about the first years at St. Helens. What about others in the Christian Union? What about other people we know of in the outskirts of St. Helens? If vine work were just about structures, then we'd be thinking, how can we squeeze people into structures? Maybe we'd be thinking about who we might read Uncover with. That's been a big thing that we've been pushing for. But if we're trying to grow partners, then it's not just who can I read Uncover with, who's not a Christian, but who could I train to be reading Uncover with themselves? So I might be someone who could read Uncover with 3 non-Christians in a year. And over 4 years, what's that? That's 12 non-Christians. But what if I read with 2 non-Christians and a Christian and trained them up? And then every year, the Christian reads themselves with 2 non-Christians and a Christian. By training people up, by drawing people in to be partners with us, instead of just 12 non-Christians, 30 non-Christians have been read with over 4 years, and 16 people have been trained up to read Uncover. Vine growth isn't about ramming people into particular systems, or even just moving people to be members. Vine work is about growing partners, training people to partner with us. And that means it's not just me or Louis or Charlie, because Vine Work is all of our work. We all want to be involved in trying to help other people become partners in the work here. So when Charlie was talking about partners, I'm sure that lots of us were thinking, how can I be moving myself closer into the category of P, into the category of partner? But part of the way I'm going to move into the category of P, of partner, is thinking about how I'll help others move into the category of partner as well. Were you thinking about how you could become a partner, or about the individuals that you could help to become partners themselves? Great. Vine work is people work. That's really obvious, isn't it? But it's also important to see, and on the other side of your sheets, that vine work is God's work. Because if it's people work, we know that in so many ways it is completely out of our hands. Vine work is his work. That won't come as a surprise to us. If it is such dizzyingly great work that we're involved in, if it's so groundbreaking, there's little hope of us being able to do that on our own. And that's Paul's conviction in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what's been entrusted to me. Paul is utterly convinced of God's hand behind the work that he's engaged in. He faces a whole array of suffering and prison, the prospect of death, but he's not ashamed because he knows whom he has believed. He knows God. He knows that God is able to grow the vine. And it is such an obvious statement that I think the problem is that we often overlook it. How easy is it to have a Christian meeting without praying? If you're involved in the CU committee, do you pray during your committee meetings? If it's just about the structures, then prayer doesn't seem that important. But if it's actually about vine growth, of course we need God to be acting. If you do pray, is it a tag on the end, or is it a heartfelt devotion and dedication of the meeting's plans to God? How well attended are prayer meetings? And if you struggle to make it to prayer meetings, why is it? This isn't a call to prayer meetings. It's a call to recognize the work that we're involved in. Ultimately, it is God's work. Vine work is his work. And if we're going to be remotely engaged in it, ours must be a work of prayer. And prayer is the backbone of real ministry. It is the brace upon which ministry stands or falls. A praying man is the most formidable creature on God's earth, isn't he? The greatest work of any Christian, any true vine work, has got to be drenched in prayer. I need to hear this as much as any of us do, because prayer is so hard, because it doesn't look productive, does it? But real vine work won't be productive unless God is acting. Great. A couple of big things to be thinking about, but why don't we turn back in our groups now and just spend 2 or 3 minutes looking at that list that we composed at the beginning, all of the activities that we're involved in at St. Helens. How do they support, so given what we've seen about vine work, to what extent are these trellis activities supporting real vine work, and how might they do that better? How are these trellis works supporting vine growth? A few minutes in our tables. Great, we're certainly not going to have nailed that one. There are lots more things that I'm sure you guys can say. And can I encourage you to keep thinking about that, and particularly think about it if you're involved in a Christian union. It'd be great to be thinking about how to be ensuring that the work is the work of vine work, vine growth, not trellis growth. But it wouldn't be right to finish this morning's talks without just saying one last thing. And that is that vine work is God's work. It is ultimately his work, but it is work that he involves us in. So in that sense, vine work is our work. Vine work is our work. That won't come as a surprise. We've been saying it all morning. But I think it's easy with everything we've been saying to feel like it's so far out of our hands. And particularly when we look at a book like 2 Timothy, which is speaking to a church leader, we can think that it's church leaders who should be doing all of this. But actually, vine work is the greater work that Jesus was speaking about, which we are all given to do, every believer. Sure, we have different roles in that. There are some who are Bible teachers, but all of us are, as Rico Tice puts it, all of us are Bible sharers. We're all able to do the ministry of sharing the Bible with each other, opening the Bible and speaking the truth to each other. So whether that's something you've heard in a sermon or something you've been discussing in RML or IGG, whether you're the shy person in the group who whispers it to the person next to you, or the loud and leery person in the group who wants to make sure that everybody hears, everyone is to be doing the work of this work of ministry. It's the work we've all got to do, whatever role we play, to facilitate the proclamation of the word to the people of all nations, to the glory of God. The growth of the vine is the work of every congregation member. It is the great work, the greater work. And it's the work that we are all involved in, all of us together. Or wouldn't that be taking church to the next level? Why don't we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you choose to do such a great work of building your church. Thank you for such an extraordinary plan to be working out in all history. And thank you that you do that even more extraordinary thing of involving us in that work, of causing us to be those who are participating in this work of growing, of building your church. We pray, please, would you help us to realize how great it is? And would you help us to appreciate the opportunity we have to be partners? Please, would we in this room become partners in the ministry of the growth of your church? And we pray that you'd help us to do that as we seek to see the vine growing. Please help us to always be pursuing that rather than the other things we might get distracted by. And we pray that the rest of this day would be a great opportunity for us to keep thinking through this, even as we eat now. Thank you, Father, for all of your provision to us. Thank you for this food we're about to eat. And please would we use all of its energy to serve you and your purposes in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Great. Lunch. Charlie's going to say something before that.